As announced, I shall be speaking on prophets, true and false. The nearest I can see today of some sort of a true prophet is what you see on television, the weather forecasters. For a prophet is a foreteller, a forecaster of things that are going to happen. And we see this every night. You watch the television and the very intelligent person says you're going to have sun or rain and so on and so forth, according to data and information given to them. Nowadays, by satellite pictures, right? But oftentimes they are still wrong, you know, because the satellite gave them pictures which were good 24 hours ago. And then, you know, the controller of the clouds and the wind movements is our great God and Savior. And He changes the pattern, and so they are wrong. How about the market analysts? Those who are watching the market, they watch those who can foretell when to buy, when to sell. Again, oftentimes wrong. Why? Because they work on available information, and that information changes according to the God of the information. Our God is in charge overall. And you say it's going to rise, but it goes down because politics come into the picture and suddenly all things change. How about the political analyst? Oh, they can try to forecast who's going to be elected and what's going to happen to this region, what's going to happen after Hong Kong is taken over 1997. They say, prosperity, prosperity, because China will come in and everything will boom. Well, we hope it's not an atomic boom. If an atomic boom, everything goes bust. We don't know. These are limited in scope in all their predictions. Please understand. But I say still, you have a kind of an idea what the prophets of old were saying. This time I tell you, thus said the Lord, and this nation is going to be taken into captivity 70 years, suffer. After 70 years, God will bring them back. Can anyone today foretell what's going to happen in 70 years? Or 1,000 years? And yet that is what the Old Testament prophets did. And with uncanny, unerring accuracy. Every time right. That is the sign and the mark of the true prophet. Never wrong, always right. How come? We're going to look into all these. Dear friends, what do you understand by a prophet? I chose this subject because today in the Church of Jesus Christ, so-called, there is a great proliferation of prophets. It's like an epidemic, you know. Everywhere people are prophesying things. Are they true? Are they false? What are they doing? A true biblical prophet is a very special person, a VVIP, very, very important, special person, because he is raised of God, and it is a select band, handpicked to be spokesman for God. You see, God has to deal with men, with us. How does God send a message to you? Answer, today the message comes through this voice, which is reflecting this book, and God speaks through this scripture, through a spokesman that is the preacher to you. And that is the way God communicates today. But you know, in the days of Jeremiah and Moses, this book was not written. So God could not say, turn to Jeremiah, because Jeremiah had not written his book. Or Moses, he cannot say, all you children of Israel, turn to Exodus. Why? It's not written. Today it is written. And God does not speak to individuals by a voice or through a vision or some kind of close encounter, like Oral Roberts says, oh, I saw the Lord Jesus 900 feet tall and we had conversation for 2 hours. I said, that is called hallucination. It's not prophecy. But it is coming, and there are a lot of people called gullible people. And they believe it. You know, about 8 years ago, he broadcast to his supporters and said, this prophet tells you, if you do not raise $8 million by this date, Satan is going to take my life, so you better raise the money. And people believe, and the money came in. Amazing prophets we have today. Dear friends, we have to be more discerning. The Church of Jesus Christ is under great pressure and deception. Deception, more and more. God had his men in Old Testament times. In every age, in every situation, God raises a man. Never was there that God did not have any man. An instrument, because God still had to communicate with men. And at that time, God raised prophets. Prophets like Moses, we all know him. Then you have all the prophets, major and minor, a lot of them. But please, try to get the perspective. A lot of them over 1,500 or 2,000 years, right? So at any one time, one or two. Not at any one time, 50 or 60. No, please. Nowadays, you go to a church, everybody stands up and says, I'm a prophet. That is very strange. So I'm telling you this, that you got to be discerning. Yes, God raised prophets, but they are very rare people. And they were there as a select group in order to, what? To do what? Speak for God. God has a message. And these people are specially chosen for that. Please turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. What do you know of Jeremiah? You know him? You ought to. He's one of the major prophets. And he's also known as the weeping prophet. Why was he the weeping prophet? Well, he was a very sensitive servant of God, and he was sent to a nation in deep rebellion, in great sin. Think of it, God's people turning to idols. There is no greater abomination in the sight of God than Christians bowing before idols, images. You can call them what you like. You can call them Mary, Joseph, Peter, and then bow down and kiss the toe of these images. Jeremiah was called to a nation in rebellion. And when he saw God's people worshiping idols, he broke down and wept and called to them, repent, because I have a message. God is going to punish you. God is going to send you into captivity. Turn to your God who saved you, not these idols, not Baal, all these dead things made by man's hands, and you worship them. How awful, how awful. You say, no, that's Jeremiah's time. No, dear friends, it's today. The evangelicals have declared. Who are the evangelicals? Are you an evangelical? It's a good name, you know. It's a good name used by bad people. So the name turns bad. Evangelicals today say, now we and the Catholics are the same. Well, everybody has the freedom of speech, right? They ought to have freedom of speech. Now, who has changed? 40, 50 years ago, they were not the same. How come today they are the same? Who changed? Evangelicals have changed, because the Roman Catholic Church never changes. All right? So you must follow. These are false prophets. When people like Billy Graham, Bill Bright, and Charles Colson, the lot of them, big, big names, they command tens and tens of millions of followers, and they say, Praise the Lord. You say, well, that sounds good, isn't it? Praise the Lord, it's good. Then they say, the Lord says, now we are all the same, worship the same God. You say, yeah, that's good. Let's all worship the same God. This is coming. When? Year 2000. Dear friends, we are living in very perilous times. Jeremiah chapter 1. Weeping prophet, verse 4. The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Who was this? Jeremiah. What for? Because God had chosen him, handpicked. Yes. For a special purpose. Because the whole nation was gone into declension. The whole nation had apostatized, that is, left their first love, left the faith of their fathers, going into the way of idolatry. And God says, I need a man. Right? I say, God needs a man today. God needs you. In this church, we are all the time conscious of the need for succession. Old people pass away. Please understand. Old people don't always stand here forever. One day they pass away. Where are the young people? God must raise you. That there will be a continuation, a succession. That the word of God may be preserved in the younger people, in the next generation. That when the old generation is gone, there's a younger generation who says, we will not forget what we learned. We will bring to remembrance all the right things we ever learned, that it continues, right? God had a message for his people, and he picked one man. May God pick someone here today and say, I will give up my career, my ambition, my own future, because God has a need for me. I'm going to serve him, not least of all, because the days are numbered. Don't think you have 10 years to make a great empire for yourself. You won't. You don't have the 10 years. The days are limited. So may God call someone as he called Elijah. He said, I knew thee before you were formed. I sanctified thee in the womb. I ordained thee. I set you apart. And I have put my special favor on you. You are going to be my servant. Who's available? Are you? May God speak to someone today. Then Jeremiah said, Ah, Lord, but I cannot speak. I'm a child. Please go call somebody else. Does it remind you of another prophet who was called? Moses. Moses says, Lord, please. Who's going to listen to me? Pharaoh will kick me out. Please God, call somebody else. Until the Lord got a little impatient with him and said, Moses, I made your mouth. I can also make you speak, you know. And I see your brother coming, and your brother can speak well. I will be to you as God, and you will be to him as God. All the words I speak to him, you speak to him, and he will speak for you. You see, God will give us eloquence to speak. Don't you say, now you want me to serve the Lord, but I can't speak. Yeah. Verse 7, the Lord says to you, say not I'm a child. Thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. You see, the prophet does not go with an idea. No. The prophet goes with a message from God. God never says, now go and think out a solution for the problem. Call a think tank, a committee. Work out something good for the people. Then go and tell them, no. Please, that works today. Yes, Parliament has got very many wonderful commissions and presidential council to advise the president what to do, and they come up with wonderful solutions for today's problems, for a time, for Singapore, for a few years, and then all the problems come again. Right? God calls men to transmit his message for the eternal welfare of his people. For had they listened, they would be saved unto eternity, unto eternal life. God is concerned with enduring things, with wonderful things for us. So, Verse 8. The Lord says, don't be afraid of them. Be not afraid of their faces, because I'm with thee. Do you need to be afraid? When an ambassador goes to a great country like America, you don't have to be afraid. Say, oh, I'm going to see the American president. I'm very frightened, nervous. No, because you are an ambassador and you deal at that ambassadorial level. You have the authority of the president of Singapore and you go there and present your credentials and you have authority, right? When God sends a man, when God calls a man, he gives you authority. He says, don't be afraid. You want to be a preacher. Don't say, well, all the people look at me, I'm so shy, I dare not speak anymore. No. If God calls you to be a preacher, he also puts his spirit on you and gives you the words to speak. Today, the words only come from here, please. Yes. Not by dreams or visions or audible voice. I heard a voice. No, I say, thus said the Lord. This is what God told me. No, no more. Here. This is the word. Verse 9. Now see what God does for his prophet. Then the Lord put forth his hand. I say, how wonderful. Who was the Lord? Put forth his hand. Well, I'm sure this is the Lord Jesus Christ. For God the Father is in heaven. Holy Spirit is invisible. And God put forth his hand. Must be the Lord Jesus Christ. And he put forth his hand and touched him as a friend to friend. How assuring, how comforting and strengthening. I said, don't be afraid, don't be nervous. I'll help you because I'm the Almighty. Who? Jesus. And you know Jesus promised? I'm with you always until the end of the world. He promises all of us. Those whom he calls, he'll send you with his own presence. And the Lord touched my mouth. This is a testimony of who? Jeremiah. Jeremiah says, I'm a prophet because God did this to me. He touched my mouth. I told him, Lord, I'm a child. I can't even speak. Now he touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I put my words in your mouth. This is the criterion of the prophet. What is it? The prophet only carries the words of the Lord. Nothing more. Nothing less. He does not go home and edit it. The add on, take off, polish it, and they say, I will give it. No. No. Verse 9. The Lord says, I have put my words in your mouth. Verse 10. See, now here is authority. And authority carries power. When the authority comes from God, there is great power in the man. And I say, the prophet of God is an awesome person. Awesome person because he has got supernatural power and he's not afraid of any man. God says to him, see, I have this day set thee over the nations. Oh, not just Israel, but Assyria, Babylon, Egypt, all those nations, anti-God nations. The Lord says, Jeremiah, don't be afraid of them because I have put you above them and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, to plant. Who will do it? Answer, the Lord, not Jeremiah, because Jeremiah was thrown into prison, into a pit, left there to die. Eventually, they killed him. Did he succeed? Of course. He was a wonderful prophet. Oh, dear friends, we have wonderful lessons from the prophets. Understand that God has one everlasting plan. God has one plan from the beginning till the end, only one plan. An everlasting, comprehensive plan that touches every life, your life, my life, the life of all people, the destiny of nations. Everything is in the hand of God. Please understand this. You may scheme and plan and struggle and strive and do all kinds of wonderful things, but the final arbiter and decider of whether you succeed or not is the Lord. And he had this plan, and he wants to communicate his plan to man, and he always uses a man, not an angel, to communicate his everlasting plan for salvation and redemption. Amen. Prophets were spokesmen and messengers. At times, prophets were also executors and executioners. Can you remember one prophet who was an executioner? Remember Elijah versus 450 priests of Baal up on the Mount Carmel? And there was a contest. One man, Elijah, versus 450 priests and another 400 false prophets. And one man against 850. And who won the contest? And God came and God answered with fire. And God vindicated Elijah. At the end of the day, all the false prophets and the priests of Baal were taken down to the river and slaughtered there. All of them. By whom? Elijah, one man. Oh, dear friends, a prophet of God in the hand of God is an awesome instrument that God can use. And God did use at that time. So, please understand, at every period, in every situation, God has His man. Now, come back to Moses. Turn back 1,500 years. And it says, there was no greater prophet than Moses. How do you think of that statement? Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 34. This was written about Moses at the end of his life. And I say, there can be no better tribute paid to any man than God's word about his servant Moses. The last chapter, last three verses of Deuteronomy. Oh, here, wonderful verses. If you have a red pen, just make a mark so that you remember what we read today. Verse 10. There arose not a prophet since. Since when? Since Moses in Israel, like unto Moses, whom God knew face to face. The Lord knew face to face, spoke like a friend. Oh, what a blessedness it is that God chose this man. And it says in the book, of all men, none was as meek as Moses. So humble, so humble. Whereas today, some are very proud because they think they have position or power and they get very proud. Not Moses, the leader of 2 million people, one man, 40 years. How come he was there? Answer, because he was a meek man. God always looks for humble men to use, you know. If you are very proud, very, very proud, you know, it's very hard for God to use you. If you are thinking of being used of God, begin to be humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may use you and exalt you in due time. So, look at this verse. The Lord knew Moses face to face, spoke to him, gave him the Ten Commandments, and told him, these are my commandments written with my own finger. Carry this and let my people follow, obey. For what? For safety. Through whom? Moses. What a wonderful man, isn't it? We must all learn to be like Moses. Now, in verse 11. In all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to his servants and to all his land, there's none like Moses. No servant, no prophet, no man that God ever used was like Moses. Why is it there were none like Moses? Answer. Because God doesn't need to repeat things. There need not be a precedence. There need not be a repetition. God used Moses at a certain time to redeem his people out of Egypt. And nothing could break the hold of Pharaoh on the people of Israel. Nothing. Why? Because you're so powerful. 9 plagues never touched him. After 4 or 5 plagues, he said, wow, that's a finger of God. Wow. And his magician said, Pharaoh, look out. Very soon there'll be no more Egypt. But he was very tough. 9 plagues never touched him. Until what? 10th plague. Who did it? Moses. Who did it? The Lord. You see, these are things written for our admonition, written for our instruction, to know that God, when He raises a prophet, He uses him in ways He Himself never knew He could be used, you know. Right? So, verse 12. In all that mighty hand and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel, there was none since like Moses. Only Moses. There's not a repeat of another Moses. Why? Because that was for a time, for a purpose, and once that purpose of God is accomplished, God does not have to repeat the whole thing all over again. But God had a wonderful man whom He used until he was 120. Then God called him home. Isn't that a great thing? That we can be used of God and be assured, if God uses you, then one day He will give you rest and call you home. There's nothing better than to serve Him with all your ability, talent, the resources and strength until God calls you home. Oh, that is a sign of the true prophet. What did Moses leave behind for us? What? Answer? Five books of the Bible. First five. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. The first five books written by Moses. Wonderful books, without which we have no idea of the beginning of the world. No idea of the meaning of salvation. No idea of where God's people came from. No idea of the Exodus. How come Egyptians had to let the Israel go out of Egypt after 430 years? How come all these things? Moses recorded that wonderful servant of God, that prophet, right? And he did a good job. Read through the first five books. Don't you ever say, oh, first five books, Old Testament, very dry. Not very dry. You are dry. You read them and you'll be very blessed. God gave us the first five books. And He also gave through Moses a psalm. Which psalm? 90. David didn't write all the psalms. There's one by Moses. Oh Lord, Thou hast been our habitation for all generations. That's Psalm 91, verse 1. And every end of the year we read it, we remember Moses. What else did Moses leave behind for us? Of great monumental value and spiritual value is 10 commandments. Right? Those wonderful words of God to direct and to guide us and to keep us from all harm and sin is 10 commandments. Who gave them to us? Moses. Twice he went up to Mount Sinai. First time, and he broke them. Second time, and he kept them. But those tables of stone are lost in antiquity. Nevertheless, before the stone was lost, Moses wrote it in this book. Is that great? Thank God for that prophet Moses. What else do you know about this great prophet? You know, when the Lord Jesus was on earth and He was to be glorified in that day of the transfiguration, two prophets came to stand with Him on the Mount of Transfiguration. Two. Only two. Very special people. Moses and Elijah. Two Old Testament prophets stood with Jesus, and the three of them in great splendor and majesty and brilliance and power. Moses. Oh, dear friends, from today I hope you are more friendly with Moses. No man can be a prophet except God calls him. Today there are those people who appoint themselves as prophets. Have you ever been to such a church? Maybe you should try sometimes. Go in there, investigate. And everybody stands up and everybody has a prophecy. Or have a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, a word from the Lord. Listen, thus said the Lord. I said, what is it? Oh, last night the Lord spoke to me. Listen, now this is going on all the time, everywhere in America. Very famous one is called John Wimber. You must know these names. I mentioned Oral Roberts. And then, of course, there's that one who started this laughing revival. He's also a prophet, called Rodney Howard Brown. All these things, all these people call themselves prophets. I say, not biblical, because every true prophet, according to the Bible, God calls. God called Moses. God called Elijah. God called Jeremiah. God called Isaiah. All these. God called. But these people, they call themselves. So they are false prophets. Dear friends, we do not need prophets today. Can you remember this? We do not need prophets today. Why? Because we already have a sure word of prophecy inscribed in the unchanging Bible. Whereas the prophecies that are heard abroad today in those charismatic churches conflict one with another, and most of the time nothing comes to pass. All false prophecies, and yet millions swallow those prophecies and they believe in the prophets and they go along happily to their death and destruction, you know. Oh, dear friends, please understand. Where does it say that we already have the word of prophecy all sufficient? 2 Peter chapter 1. A very important verse for you to underline, to make a mark, so that you know where to refer to. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 19, 2 Peter 1:19, it says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Where is it? In the book. And this book does not change, does not vary, does not contradict itself, and does not fail. Every word of God is sure, forever settled, and on this book you can build, and you can rest assured. Nothing will go wrong because I have what? Verse 19. A more sure word of prophecy, whereunto we do well that we take heed, that it is a light that shines in the dark place until the day dawns and the day star rises in our hearts. Verse 20. Because we know this, that no prophecy in the scripture is of any private interpretation. It is not for any selfish purpose, not to because of any group, any person, any nation, privately to be interpreted for their benefit, but all scripture is given by inspiration of God. All prophecy in the scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable to us to read for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Trouble is we don't read. Must read. Study the scriptures, the prophecies of scriptures. They're so wonderful, so profitable. Dear friends, do pray that you will love the scriptures and take time off to read it. So, dear friends, these three verses, you make a little note. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verses 19, 20, and 21. Verse 21 says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. Not any man can stand up and say, I'm a prophet, I'm telling you, thus said the Lord. No, it doesn't happen that way. Not by the will of man, but what? Holy men of God, specially picked, hand-picked men of God. And as I said, those are few and far between. And what happened? They spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So you ask me, what do you mean by they were moved by the Holy Ghost? Do you know? Can you explain to me? It says here they got the word of God and they were moved by the Holy Ghost and they gave all these things written here. I used to live in Tiong Bahru. And how many of you live in Tiong Bahru, that very famous place? Around the corner from my house is a temple. And going to school, coming back, oftentimes I've watched this countless times, in that Chinese temple, not very big, but very active. And when a medium goes into a trance before his idol and his god, he is a very different creature. And he begins to speak in a language that you don't understand.
And he will write, and he leaves a message. When he comes out of the trance, he is exhausted. And he says, "Hey, what do you say?" He says, "What? I didn't say anything. I don't realize there's anything happening." What happened? That medium was in the possession of demons who spoke through him messages. Now, let me ask you, if an evil spirit can cause a man to become a medium and speak messages from Satan, can our God, by his Holy Spirit, not move a holy man to speak for him? Answer, yes. Not today though. Not today. Today, God looks for men, calls men to repentance. God calls. But no longer does he call men to become prophets and to prophesy. No more. God calls you and me to repentance. God calls you and me to come to him for salvation. And those who are saved, he calls you and me to serve him. Come, follow me. I will make you fishers of men. I will call you to be witnesses. God is still calling. Is there someone who will say, "Lord, here I am. Take me. Send me. Use me." Oh, yes. This is the only way this church can go on. That there are faithful men who will come to be instructed. And then teach others also. And then we can go on. If God should tarry, if there is another generation, which I am very doubtful, right? Dear friends, look not for visions today. Look not for prophets. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what is the remedy for false prophets? What is God's remedy for false prophets? There are false prophets, they just raise themselves and they proliferate in the churches. And this is a great, great setback for those churches which have false prophets. Please turn to Deuteronomy chapter 18. And God has the prescription for false prophets. And you ought to know, this is God's method to deal with false prophets. Not mine, not yours. It's very hard to tell a fellow, "Hey, you are a false prophet." I think he'll punch you in the nose. But God says, very, very, very stern warning here. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 18. "I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hear, listen unto my words which he shall speak in my name, I will deal with him." All right? Take note. The words of prophecy of the Old Testament are very important words. Although you say, "Well, we are in the New Testament age today, age of grace. Don't read Old Testament. That's old already." No, dear friends. All is good. All is important. Ask for the old path. Now, listen. Come to false prophets. Verse 20. "But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name," the word here to note is presume. Presume is the one who just stands up and says, "I am a prophet, thus said the Lord." He presumes what will happen to him. "The one who shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die." Nowadays, I wonder if they ever think of this, those false prophets, that they are actually liable to be dead. Verse 21. "And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? How are we to know whether it is a false prophet or a true prophet?" God gives you the answer. Very wonderful. Note carefully, verse 22. "When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet has spoken it presumptuously. Don't be afraid of him. Take him outside the gate and stone him to death." Where does it say so? Verse 20. The prophet shall die. We must not trifle with the name of God. A person who stands up and says, thus said the Lord, and he says his own words, is blaspheming against the Lord. And the reward for that is death. Death is no playing matter. My dear friends, today all these in the churches are saying they have words of knowledge, words of wisdom, words of prophecy, and they come left, right, and center everywhere. Let me give you this quotation. There are dates, chapter and verse. When modern prophets fail, this is written by a charismatic author in a charismatic magazine called The Charisma in America in the year 1994. It is to explain. You see, people ask them, hey, how come? You all have prophecies, but they never happen. Listen. Modern prophets, even the genuine ones, can fail. We are modern. Old times never fail. The prophet means well. Main thing is, he means well. He gets up and he says, thus said the Lord. And what he says is going to happen, never happens. He said, no, don't worry, don't worry. He means well. But he's modern. And he's genuine. But he fails. It's all good. Because if you are disappointed, then your faith begins to shake. Ah, is that right? This kind of theology I've never heard. Now, second point. This writer says, at Calvary, now notice this very carefully, at Calvary, God the Father had to face failure when he abandoned Jesus, his own son, and Jesus had to cry, oh God, why hast thou forsaken me? See? What happened? God failed. He couldn't save his son. Don't be troubled. When our prophets failed, think, God failed. So our prophets are not that bad. Therefore, press on regardless. Don't be disappointed. In the face of false prophecies, predictions which fail to materialize, be comforted because we don't always understand the deep things of God. What God is doing, sometimes succeed, sometimes fail. These are deep things you don't understand. Don't be disappointed. Trust Him anyhow. Trust Him. Dear friends, there is no greater deception than this kind of talk. It's double talk all the time, double talk. If you fail, it's good. You succeed, it's good. How can it be? You succeed, it's good. You fail. You say it's going to happen, doesn't happen, also good. So he says, don't be alarmed. We charismatics, accept this. It's good for your faith. I say, what blasphemy. The word of God says, you say it's going to happen. If it doesn't happen, take him out and stone him to death. That is God's prescription. Of course, nowadays you don't take them up and stone them to death. But God will do it one day. Where does it say so? The Lord Jesus says, many will come to me in that day and say to me, Lord, Lord, I want to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And the Lord says, I never knew you. And he says, Lord, don't you know? I used to preach. I used to prophesy. I did signs and wonders. I cast out devils. The Lord says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Yes? Matthew 7:21-23. But he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven, he shall enter the kingdom of heaven. What is the will of God my Father in heaven? I ask you, what is the will of God my Father in heaven to me? Today, the will of God my Father in heaven is that I repent, believe on His Son, be a good witness for Him, and go and tell other people to repent. Every day seek to do the will of God. Every day obey His commandments. Every day enlarge His kingdom. And wait for the Lord Jesus to come and serve Him while we can. That is the will of God, my Father. And all false things, I must turn my back on and have nothing to do with false prophets, nothing to do with false religions, nothing to do with ECT 1994. Evangelicals and Catholics together, 1994, says, we all are together, we're going to affirm together, we're going to evangelize together, we're going to persevere together, we're going to contend together. We are now one. I say, the will of God, my Father, is to resist and say no. It's difficult. But God never says it's easy. It's the narrow way. We must enter by the straight gate and the narrow way and go that way, even though there are very few in that way. But that is a way to life. These false prophets are all running the broad way to destruction. Now we shall come to the end in a moment. The important thing today is not what men are saying. Jesus says, how do you know my coming is near when you see what? False prophets. I give you a verse that you must remember. Matthew 24:24. Very easy to remember. The two figures are the same. Matthew 24:24. The sign of the end times is the sign of false prophets. Matthew 24:24. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. The sign of the false prophets is a sign of the Lord's coming. And it is something that is pervading and prevailing and spreading like wildfire in the churches today. What do you say to that? Not what men say. Even though everybody is saying it, please remember, truth does not come by a majority vote. Even if the whole church here, God forbid, I don't think it's ever happened here, as long as our leaders are in charge. Even if everybody in the Christian church today outside were to vote an untruth, it does not make the untruth true. Right? Let me illustrate. If all the evangelicals were to vote with the Charles Colson and group and James Packer and group and John Stott and Billy Graham and vote with them and say, that's right, we are together and with all Christendom we can save the world, it does not make that true. Please understand. Truth does not come by majority vote. False prophets proliferate and they come up with false teachings. And every false teaching will only lead men to hell, cannot lead men to salvation. What do you do about it? Please, again I repeat, majority vote does not make a false thing true. What must you do? Back to the Bible. Turn to the Word of God. Know your Bible. Read it, love it, memorize it. Matthew 24:24. Can you remember that? There shall arise false Christ and false prophets, who shall show great signs and wonders insomuch that if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. Be not deceived, my friends. I say no member of Calvary in Pandan ought ever to be deceived, because we have told you. And if you want to be deceived, you choose to be deceived, that is your own funeral. Please don't. Don't go and say, well, they are so fervent, so sincere, so earnest, and so friendly and so warm. Please, we are not talking of these things. So friendly and warm and sincere and running the way of damnation, destruction. Back to the Bible. What does God's word say about this in this particular situation? Pray that God will give you the power of a sound mind. Right? The power of the sound mind. God never says, never mind. Go along with them. As long as they appear to be friendly, sincere, earnest, warm, good-hearted, means well. They mean well. Go follow them. No, friends. The Word of God says, pray for discernment. Spiritual things are spiritually discerned. You must pray, Lord, help me to understand. Is this thing true or false? If it is false, get away from it. Don't have anything to do with it. Pray for wisdom to judge. Do you have that wisdom? We close with this verse again. Matthew 24:24. There shall arise false Christ and false prophets. And false prophets will bring false prophecies which don't happen. And they will show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. May all of us here not be deceived. May all of us be part of the elect of God. God bless us. Let us pray. Father in heaven, the word of God says you have chosen us, elected us, unto adoption of sons. May we be true to that adoption. Grant to us spiritual vision, eyesight, understanding to see the things of God and to differentiate from truth from error. This is our prayer. Help us to understand that we live in a very dark and perilous time. Preserve thy people, Lord. Preserve every brother and sister here. Preserve us in the most holy faith that we, reading the word of God, will understand and will never depart. In Jesus' name, amen.